Good morning. I think I'll try to do my best to live up to that last song, Let My Words Be Few. We'll see how I do this morning. I'm not sure. Before we get started, let's go ahead and have a little prayer. Lord, thank you for being here. You are the reason we're here. You're the reason that we can enjoy your Holy Spirit and your love. You're the reason we can reach out to those around us with your love. And we just thank you for this opportunity to come and hear your word. So Lord, I just pray that you speak today and that we respond and say yes to you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my name is Tim Cruz, and my wife, Mary Beth, and I, who's right down here, we help lead the Forum Fort Wayne young adult immersion experience here at Grace. There's 1 week left about for application, so if you're between the ages of 18 and 29, or know someone that is, you can go to formfw.com and apply right now. Maybe the Lord's tugging at your heart in this moment. I will give you permission to use your cell phone for that. A few months ago, we took some of the Forum young adults to Haiti, and we were helping out with Pastor Luke, where the youth went a couple of weeks ago. And as one of the projects we were doing to help him, we were installing some air conditioners, and on the outside of the house, we put these metal kind of crates around them and secured them to the house so they wouldn't get stolen. And so we had the opportunity to go to a welding shop in Haiti. A welding shop in Haiti might not be what you picture here. It was a booth, maybe about the size of this stage, with a tarp, and the torch hose was taped in multiple places, and it was like, okay, I might stand back from this a little bit. But right next to that booth, there was this lady who was selling some different foods, among which was sweetened condensed milk. I don't know, how many of you have been to Haiti? I know some of the youth. Did you try Haitian coffee, which is about a half a cup of coffee, a half a cup of sugar, and a half a cup of sweetened condensed milk? And it's an experience that I let stay in Haiti, but I do it every single time I go because I have to try it because it's such a very unique flavor and wonderful. But that's what they love down there. So there was this little booth, and she had three or four children, all probably about 12 and under, and they were talking amongst themselves because there was a couple of us white guys there. And so they sent the littlest one over, and he came over and he had a little bit of a pot belly, might have been malnourished. And like they do to probably every white person that they see, he goes like this, and he's like, up to me, speaking very well through the language barrier, saying, I'm hungry, you have more than me, give me some bread, or give me some food to eat. And I didn't know quite what to do in that situation, because I had actually purposely left my billfold back at the house, so I didn't have anything, I couldn't buy any food for him or anything, so I was like, trying to communicate back, I don't know, can't do anything. And then like he goes back to them, and they all try to come over and try to convince me that, of course I can give them something. And so, I don't know, maybe you won't be in Haiti, but have you ever run into the situation where you feel like God is calling you to connect with somebody, calling you to go and talk with somebody, but you're so different than them, you don't know how to communicate to them, or you don't know how to like relate to them? I mean, they're just completely different. Have you ever run into that situation where it's like, I don't know how to speak to this person? Well, that's where I was, and so what happened next? And I don't know how this happened, but I think he made a little funny face, and so I mimicked it back to him. And we started this whole little series of funny faces, which then turned into dance moves. And so for the rest of the time I was there at the welding shop, we had this amazing human interaction. You know, even though like our skin color was different, our language was different, our family status was different, our economic status was different, our culture, our countries, there is very little we had seemingly in common, but we still had this connection on a human level, and I believe it's a connection that we can have with every single person in which we come in contact with. And it ended up being one of the most significant experiences I've had in cross-culture mission trips and things, because I think many times here, we can focus so much on differences in people. We look at somebody and they're just different than us, that we can begin to play societies and the world's role of difference, of creating space, of having distance between each other, of having different worlds all around us, but never interacting with them. And I don't really feel that's God's plan. And I thought about it, and like, what would I've just given him some bread or gave him a dollar bill? You know, what would have happened if I would have done that? You know, he would have had a full tummy. I would have felt good about myself. But I believe that the differences would have been maintained. We might have not connected in that way. Because I would have stayed the rich white person and he would have stayed the poor little Haitian boy, and there would have been no connection. But in fact, we had a moments where we did stuff that friends do. I might never see him again, but we did stuff that friends do. We had a true, meaningful connection, regardless that we had nothing in common. And many times, I think I look at my relationship with the Lord as a transaction instead of as a connection. I think, okay, God, here's all my sin. Now I want your salvation and I want heaven. And God's like, of course, here you go. But I think he's after connection with us. He's actually after the Holy Spirit being a part of who we are. You know, Jesus talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches. He wants to be connected to us. And so today I kind of want to talk about just what does it look like and how do we start having meaningful connections? And not just with people who are like us, but people who are different than us, maybe very different than us. And I believe it's possible that we can connect with all people, regardless of what we feel or how we feel we might be able to connect with them. As we look at Scripture and the whole overarching story, you know, because many times the people that are different than us are, they're poor, they're on the margins, they're kind of ostracized by the rest of society. And God's heart for them is so clear through the Bible. Even in the Old Testament, in the Law of Moses, there was laws and commands that talked about putting, you know, like cutting, leaving the corners of your fields, because it was an agricultural culture then. So they left the corners of the fields so that the poor and the widows and the immigrants could come and actually eat that food. And then as you swing all the way even to the New Testament, we see James talking about when you have a church gathering and the rich and poor together, don't give a rich person a better seat. Don't be a respecter of people, but rather, as it is in God's eyes, God sees everything the same. Because he looks at the heart, not the outward appearance. God sees the poor person just as well as the rich person. And maybe you're the poor person, and you look at the rich people and say, I have nothing in common with them. Whatever it is, in God's economy, everybody's on the same level. And so we can see that it's God's priority. Even when they sent out the first missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, I think he was Saul at the time maybe even, and Paul talks about this in Galatians 2. He said, we're getting ready to send out Peter, James, and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples, and then Jesus' brother or cousin. And they were leading the church in Jerusalem, the whole church. And they saw that now God was wanting to reach out to the Gentiles. Talk about a difference. And they saw, and the Holy Spirit said, let there be light. Is everybody okay? Is there glass on the floor? Or we good? Wow. Are we all right? Is the light, can someone turn off those lights? Maybe that probably would be a, are we good? Anyway, that was not part of my sermon illustration. The timing was off a little bit. That's okay. I think you're all right. Fantastic. So anyway, back to Paul and Barnabas getting ready to be sent on the first missionary journey to Gentiles, which in the Jewish culture were completely different. You didn't even go into their homes, let alone talk to them. And they're getting ready to send out the first missionaries. And you know, even as they're getting ready to go do this, they only tell Paul and Barnabas to do one thing. Now, if I was getting ready to send out the first missionaries ever, I'm not sure if this would be the one thing I would put on the top of my list, but this is what they said. They said, we see that you have the grace to go and do this, so go and do it, except this one thing, remember the poor. It's the only thing they told the missionaries when they were going, is to remember the poor. It is so close to God's heart. It's so close to Jesus Christ. When he was here on earth, talk about leaving the riches of heaven and coming down as a vulnerable little crying baby in a smelly stable. He identified completely with the poor, and even in who he was. And then when he was doing his ministry, all the money he had was to give to the poor. And he spent so much time with people who had leprosy and prostitutes and tax collectors who were the rich people who nobody liked. And Jesus spent time with them and he was with them. And so when they said, remember the poor, Paul gives an amazing response. And he says, that's the very thing I've been eager to do all along. Was to remember the poor, because he knew that was Jesus' heart. So are we eager to meet the marginalized, the poor where they are? Are we eager to serve the vulnerable? It's on God's heart. Paul talks about, because this isn't easy, because, you know, I don't like, it's not comfortable, like, to go and, like, because again, like I said, it's difficult. How do we talk to somebody, like, when we have nothing in common, seemingly? And so in 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23, it's up on the screen, Paul talks about something he was willing to do, something that he knew, seeing what Christ did for us. And he talks about this. He says, I have become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. So for the sake of the gospel, Paul was willing to become like the people he was trying to reach. Like Hudson Taylor, who began wearing the Chinese clothes and wearing the ponytail, which was radical for missionaries in the 1800s when he started doing that. You know, whatever it is, I mean, he was willing to connect and identify with them in any way possible. You know, not necessarily affirming the sin in their life, but connecting them in a way that wasn't offensive to God, but that could open up doors to communicating with them and having meaningful connections with them. Because there's a lot of talk today about identity. You know, there's sexual identity. Now we have all this thing about gender fluidity and identity, and there's political identity that I know we all have, and religious identity. And so these things can seem to put walls up, and they can seem to put things like, I don't want to talk to that person, or I can't talk to the person. That person's just so stupid. Why can't they see the truth? You know, that's how I feel sometimes. But the reality is that God wants us to connect, wants us to love all people. Love me and love others. Who is my neighbor? Your enemy is your neighbor. To love every single person, and that starts with connecting with them right where they are. So if there's anything that you can remember from today, it would be this, is that love starts with connection. We can't begin to connect with people, or we can't begin to love people until we actually have the initial connection. So love starts with connecting, being willing to enter in to someone else's world, to someone else's ideas, and to learn how does the gospel, what is the good news that this person needs? Mary Beth and I went to a wedding last fall, and they were talking about 1 John 4:19, which says, we love because he first loved us. And I always thought that verse meant like, we love God because he first loved us. But actually it just says, we love. We have the ability to love because he first loved us. So our ability to love other people comes from experiencing God's love. Kind of the DNA that kind of runs through all the scripture is God's covenant with us, and then the kingdom he's trying to establish through us. So his covenant is about relationship with us, and his kingdom is about what is our responsibility. So we have the relationship with him, and then our responsibility to have it. And God, our relationship to God, our covenant, starts by him connecting to us. Because the cross of Jesus Christ is for the whole world, but not the whole world accepts it. Only those who connect to the Holy Spirit, who have the Spirit of Christ in them, are a part of who God is. And so once that connection takes place, then we have the love of God within us, and we can begin to share it. And the sharing of God's love is our kingdom responsibility. And so really, if you can see, the start of our kingdom responsibility is to connect with people, regardless of who they are. We could call ourselves kingdom connectors. For those of you who like alliteration, you can write that down. Kingdom connector. I'm a kingdom connector. It's connecting for the kingdom of God. But connecting with people, especially those who are way different than us, are marginalized or not in our circles, or we don't see them, it comes with a cost. It comes with a cost. And there was a time I went through a program similar to FORM called Send North America in Kendallville, or Kendalltucky, as we lovingly refer to it as. And no offense to those Kendallites here. And we, as part of that, we lived in a trailer park in Auburn and lived in a trailer. And now I've seen some pretty nice double wides, you know, they're pretty nice, very look like a normal house and things, and some nice trailers. This, because of what we could afford, this was not one of those. It was old, it was clean-ish, but it had a very distinct odor. I'm not sure if it was the mold hanging from the ceiling or what, but we had it. And so one morning I was just getting dressed and I was putting on my shirt and I got a whiff of my shirt. And I was like, oh no. and it smelled just like that old trailer. And then subsequently, I realized that if this shirt smells like this old trailer, then all my other shirts in my closet and all my other slacks in my closet smell the same way. And I was pretty like, major wardrobe malfunction. And so, thankfully, the Lord followed it up pretty quickly. Was like, okay, wait a second. You're trying to follow me. You moved in here to be able to be a missionary to your neighbors, to reach out to this thing, and you're going to get all petty because your clothes smell a little bit different? And I was like, woo, that's a good point. So I was like, so meaningful connections, it might cost us being smelly sometimes. You know, not cool, but it's part of the thing. Jesus, like he was with the lepers, talk about a smell and things, but he was willing to go and actually touch them. It's amazing. And if we can share the love of Christ with somebody, is it worth it? Is it worth it if they can say yes to Jesus and experience his love? So what are we going to do about it? You know, I was trying to think about it, and I think the first thing I think is in our brains. As we can begin thinking differently about people. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about loving your enemies, because in the Jewish culture, it's like, hate your enemies, love your neighbor. Jesus is like, no, that's not the way it's going to be. And he talks about God and saying that God makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. This is blessing rain, by the way. Rain is very important. It was important in the Middle East. So this is a blessing rain. This is a blessing sun. For if you simply love those who love you, what reward do you really have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, or the people who are like you, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? So Jesus like says tax collectors first, who were Jews, but didn't interact well with the Jews. And then he talks about the Gentiles. So in the Jewish mind, they're like, oh my goodness, this is radical. And then Jesus says, you therefore must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now I've heard sermons on this, and it's about like full maturity in Christ and all these different things. But it's amazing. If you look at the context of this, he says right before that, greet everybody the same way, like God does with the sun and the rain and blesses them. So really a first step and becoming like our daddy, and I want to become like my daddy in heaven. A first step to that is greeting every single person, regardless of what they look like, what they smell like, or what we think about them. It's greeting them with the same amount of love, the same amount of appreciation, the same amount of honor that you would for somebody who's close to you. And and why? It's because they're worth it. They're really worth it. Like you and I were worth dying for Jesus. They're not only worth his love, but they're worth our love as well. And it starts in the mind, because I know I start, when I see somebody new on the street or even in here, I start rolling a movie in my head about who I think you are based on outward appearances. I was going, so judged completely on that in 3 seconds, I know who you are. At least I think I do. Like even yesterday, it's a little embarrassing, but yesterday we were playing with our kids out in the front yard, and I saw this couple walking down the street. And I made a judgment call by their hair, their clothes, their sunglasses, and the way they were walking. I'm like, they're druggies and they're sleeping together. The first thought I had, and I began to realize, right after I thought that, they walked by and was like, whoa, wait a second. Didn't mean to do that. And I realized that we need to start with a different narrative, a different story in our mind about the people we meet. And it needs to be God's story about them. That needs to be what's the first thing in our heads. And not my assumptions. And God, because God's story, he's crazy about people. He's crazy enough to go and die on the cross for them. And that's the story I want to have in my mind, a good news story about that person, because there is hope for every single person, no matter what I think about them. And so a really simple, practical way that I think we can begin to tell a different story in our head. And a mentor of mine told this to me once, and I started practicing once I started preparing for this, and it's actually given me a better attitude about people, is every person we meet, we think in our mind the truth, and we say to them, I love you. Not out loud, obviously that'd be a little embarrassing and awkward, it could be offensive, but we think in our mind, I love you, God bless you. Just keep it inside and think, I love you, God bless you. And when we do that, then we begin to think about, we start from the place, it's my responsibility to love every single person I see. So why not let's say that when I see them? And when I say love, I'm not talking about the fuzzy-duzzy, romantic, you know, broken heart type of love. I'm talking about biblical 1 Corinthians 13 love, which is, I will be kind to this person. I will be patient with this person. I won't be proudful against this person or envy this person. That kind of love, the sacrificial love for their betterment. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. And when I say bless, like, I love you, God bless you, it's not the ha-choo, bless you. No, it's actually like God sends his rain and his son on the bad people, the people we don't like. He sends a blessing on them every single day with his sun rising. And we can do the same thing. It's like, I want your life to be good. I want your relationships to be good, your family to be healthy. I want you to be blessed financially. I want you to live a happy and free life and ultimately to engage with Jesus Christ. That's the kind of blessing. So I love you. God bless you. And that couple who walked back, they were walking back by us, and I got a chance to change the story in my brain. And as they were walking by, and I saw them as they were walking away, and I said, wow, I love them. I love them, and I actually do want God to bless their life. Because if I start going down the road of like, they're druggies and they're doing stuff, their life's going to go down in the pit and they're going to ruin it. I don't want those people in my neighborhood. That's not God's story. God's story is hope. And if those people walk by again, I want to be able to invite them up on our porch, share a popsicle with them, talk to them, if they're willing. Obviously, not many people are going to be willing to do that. If it's a stranger walking down the street. But we've done it a few times. It's kind of fun. Because my attitude changed. Because this won't just change the people. It'll change us. We'll begin seeing the world with the eyes of God, which is eyes of hope. Because the cross has done it all, and people need us to know about it. Because if love starts with connection, you know, we want to start having these meaningful connections, we need to learn how to start them. And I feel like many times I walk around like with the arms of my heart folded. And like I see somebody maybe I'm a little uncomfortable with. I'm like, okay, my wallet's still here. Good. Avoid eye contact, la, la, la. And I walk right by them. But there are so many people that we do that to who are hurting and broken, who maybe have never, ever sensed the grace of God their entire lives. Never sensed it. So what if you were the one? Imagine it, if you were the one to be the open up the arms of your heart to this person and bring the light of God that's in you into their world simply by a genuine smile, a warm and friendly hello, and a willingness to engage that person. What if everybody in this room began to do that? We could start a movement of people just liking everybody, a movement of friendship, across our area here, across our city. We're on this first love journey of evangelism, and we're not going to get to the point of sharing the gospel with people if we actually don't start talking to them. And we're not going to start talking to them if we ignore them. So let's not ignore people. Let's look at them. And an easy way for this to stick in your mind is I have stickers for you underneath your seat. Should look like this, little maroon sticker. And it says, I love you, God bless you. Oh, I'd have my billfold's down there. But I put mine on the inside of my billfold, so I see it, and it says, I love you, God bless you. Mary Beth put it in the middle of the steering wheel. Because if there's any better place, like when somebody cuts you off in traffic, the first thing that I'm thinking is not I love you. But imagine if we started driving like this. It can make our days a lot sweeter in our souls. But put this someplace. Put it inside your purse. Put it even inside your Bible if you read it regularly. Put it on the back of your phone, on the back of your MacBook. Just someplace where you can remember, and it's a little thing on your mirror in the morning, wherever. So you can remember that every single person has worth. And that love starts with connecting with them and by thinking the truth that you, because you actually do love them. You might not know it, but Christ is in you and he loves them. And as we begin to obey him and say yes to him, we realize that these connections can happen. So I think that's the first thing we can do. It's just simple. I love you, God bless you. Think it in your mind. And the second one is a little higher challenge, and it would be kind of for your whole family maybe. Is there someone that you see? Maybe it's the widow in your neighborhood. Maybe it's the kid who's always eating alone at school or at work. What if you went and had lunch with them? Just tried to have a start of conversation. Like, I have no idea. I have nothing in common with that person. Try. Just go ahead. I truly, honestly believe that God will be with you in those connections. Just imagine. There's probably 600, I think there's 600 people roughly that are here on any given Sunday. If there's 4 people per family, that's 150 families that are represented here today. 150 families. Imagine if each family just had one person who they were regularly connecting with. Just imagine if the whole church in the cities, in New Haven and Fort Wayne did this. Loneliness and the sadness and the destruction that's connected to it would be eradicated. It'd be gone. And that's God's plan. That's God's plan for us. So to end today, I'll tell a little story. So I was starting to come up with this talk, and I remember, I love you, God bless you. So it's like, well, I probably should practice it myself if I'm going to talk about it. And we took a little getaway to Indianapolis with Coco. My wife is Coco over there, so it was kind of a quasi-getaway. But we went to Indianapolis for a couple of nights, and we went downtown on a Wednesday, and we went to the farmer's market, and we were just going to take a lap around the circle and then go back to our car. And so I was starting this, like, I love you, God bless you, thinking about people. There's this one homeless guy who wouldn't look at me, another one who would. Then I started looking at the rich businessmen and women and thinking, wow, God loves all these people. This is amazing. It just like gave me hope as I was looking at all these people. And then we made the lap, and as we were coming back on the corner of Pennsylvania and Market Street, there was this homeless lady in a wheelchair. And so I was practicing this, and I don't know if it just went a little slower. We were pushing Coco in a stroller. And we got there, and we just all of a sudden started this conversation with her. And before we knew it, she was holding Coco. She hadn't held a baby in 25 years. She was so happy. It was amazing. We started talking to her. We found out that she was from DeKalb County, where Mary Beth and I both grew up. And we just had this amazing connection. She told us where she lived, under the little bridge, not the big bridge, and that she doesn't want to live at the mission or go to the mission and things like that. And it was a few minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes. We just talked to her, learned about her a little bit. And then we gave her a couple of peaches from the farmer's market. She gave us Coco back, and we parted ways. And yeah, gave us Coco back, yeah, definitely. But it was a connection. And I truly believe that I gave peaches to Jesus that day. And I believe that Jesus held my baby. And that's amazing. Because if love starts with connection, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be making a funny face at a little Haitian boy. It could be letting somebody hold your baby, having that lonely friend over to dinner. If we can start shifting our minds and our hearts toward the story that God is telling about people, we can be part of connections, I truly believe, that can change the world. So as we're finishing up today and Ryan comes up to give the words from the prayer team, I want us to think about who is it that maybe God is saying, as a family, you could start. Maybe God's bringing somebody to your mind right now. Maybe you've been working with somebody already, or you've been loving them already, and God wants you to continue that relationship. Think about that as a family. Think about being willing to commit yourself to every single person that you meet, saying, I love you, and God bless you. Let's pray quick, and then we'll do the things. Lord, we thank you so much that you love the whole world, that you gave Jesus Christ for us. And so, Lord, I pray that we can begin to see your creation, your people that you love so much, the way you see them. That your heart can begin to be our heart, and that we can truly say, I love you and God bless you, like you do every day to every single person. So, Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just convict us. I pray that you would you'd be with us and know that you came and you connected to us. And that's what you're asking to do. So we just commit this to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.